pitch from the right-hander, swing and a shot down the left field line, hooking into the corner, and gone! Vladimir Guerrero Jr. yanks his 17th of the season off of Luis Severino. George Springer drives one in the air out to deep left field. It's got a chance to go, and it's gonna go! The 2-2. Gurriel swings and drives it! Deep left field! Grand slam, Gurriel! The Blue Jays are right back in this, baby! 2-1. Hernandez scalds it in the air out to deep center field. Judge back at the wall, and the Blue Jays have the lead! Teoscar Hernandez comes through in the clutch with a go-ahead three-run home run.
Fun one yesterday. It's a fan morning show. I'm J.D. Bungus. Ayla's still off for one more day as she recuperates from whatever hangover she had dining with the stars, dancing with the stars. Ayla's Forfar out there in Club Monaco, a.k.a. Montreal. The absolute weekend that girl is having right now. Yeah, she's back tomorrow. She'll regale us with all of her tales of Montreal and F1. So my buddy Sam McKee is still with me. What's up, buddy?
That was a decent little
sports day yesterday, huh? Like a little sneaky sports day.
It was great, and I really loved Ailish's post on Instagram of her wearing the F1 hat with the what's that guy's name? Oh yeah, Rob Lowe with the MLB hat. I really loved that post. So, yeah. But look,
you know why though?
She was down like on the track. Like, oh my god!
No, yeah, she knows.
She's rolling
all
deep
the
there.
Olympians.
Yeah.
She's in Montreal with Marie-Philippe Poulin. All right. She didn't do anything other than know Marie-Philippe Poulin. She's undeserved. But no, the reason why she got the F1 hat is because she's FaceTiming me on like the Saturday. She's FaceTiming over and over and over again. No text first, just straight to FaceTime in the middle of a morning, you know, a Saturday morning. Obviously, I'm not sitting around with tarps on or anything. I got to, like, scramble. I'm like, what's going on here? Is it an emergency? She's calling me over, like, Haas hats that she wants to buy for me because they're $100 hats. They just bilk the Richies at that thing.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
they see the Richies coming through and they're like, oh, this is what a hat costs. It's $100 for a ball cap that's a dad hat with the Super Mario top. I told her not to buy any because I'm like, are they dad hats? She goes, no, they're like the ones with the hard tops. And I'm going, no. What are you doing here?
That's actually a problem with F1 stuff, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah, no.
But
not
like
F1.
Their gear is not good. Like
no,
it's just
saying,
you look like you're hanging out at Tim Hortons with the Red Bull stuff. Like it's a horrible look. So I don't know. I my thoughts on F1. We don't have to get too deep into it. We can talk about it later. But it's just I hate the gear. The gear is terrible for F1. You just look like you're from Italy, or you look like a great looking guy. Basically, skin.
No,
it's
tough because we grew up with. Red Bull's association was like broing down hard. You
hard
love Red
bro.
Bull? Like,
or like Monster.
But that's what I mean. It's just to us, we see Monster and they go, no, that's not what we are. And we're like, nah, you are. You're dudes on BMXs. And they're like, no. And we're not. And we go, yeah, you're dudes who like jump out of that thing in space. Remember? That was so stupid.
Oh, yeah.
That was the dumbest thing ever. That guy went, oh, he jumped from space skydive. I was like,
what was
I don't
his
care.
Name?
I don't care. I don't
know. The guy that jumped from space.
Yeah, the guy who jumped from space. Dude, if you jump from a plane, that's just as scary as if you jump from space. That's
Felix Baumgartner. That was
his name. Who cares? Great.
I had to Google
Felix. Felix Baumgartner. Where is he now? He's like,
you guys remember when I was jumping from space?
No, Felix.
I watched.
Yeah. I don't know why we all watched that. But everybody did. Dude, Red Bull is trotting out some straight trash. Like, trash. Oh, yeah. Man, imagine getting stoked for Crash Dice. Like, you guys watching Crash Dice this weekend?
I'm pretty sure Borny got invited to do that. Like, he got invited to do the track. I forget, the story. He told me a story about how he got, invited to do the track but didn't end up doing it. Great story by me at 6 in the morning here. But Borny, I think, he had an association with Red Bull.
I think a guy I know got invited to do that in a bad way. And then did it. Yeah. Oh, wow. What other stories you got? you got a lot of other stories or what?
I'm good. My storytelling days are over.
But, dude, seriously, imagine watching Crashed Ice and wanting someone to win. Like, this guy's really good. this guy's been really going down the ice track real fast this year. He's been bombing these tracks. He's been bombing these tracks. Yeah, okay.
He's got good pace.
You fire that on. That's the only guys that liked that were from Quebec for some reason. Quebec dudes, I think, were really into Crashed Ice. They were probably devastated when they got rid of it. Just like you said, that it's kind of like European dudes who are rocking the F1 gear.
Yeah.
Going, this, well, I'm pulling this off. But we go, you guys pull off everything. But
Italian dudes can pull off the Italy gear really, the Ferrari gear really nicely.
Like, yeah,
you can look cool
gear,
wearing that. You look cool with that. But me wearing a Red Bull hat, I'm just gonna look like an idiot.
No, that's why I like Haas. Haas is good, except for, I don't know if you saw what their weekend was like. It was a disaster. They finished P5, P6, and they're celebrating it. This is the story of Haas. They always go like, "We did pretty good at qualifying," and then they start the race. They have to drive the actual race where other cars. Both our guys blew it in extremely bad ways. You go, all right, yeah, okay, cool, Haas. Cheering for Haas sucks. I actually hate it, but I truly am invested in Haas. Like, I care about them, and I don't care about any other teams. Like, Lewis got up on the podium, and they went, wow, Lewis, Mercedes is the pace. I'm like, okay, it's still Mercedes. They're huge failures this year. Who cares that he's finishing third? That's Lewis's new bar? Whatever. Anyways, Blue Jays. So, that weekend, does the cologne of that last game cover up the stink of Friday, Saturday, and the Kikuchi start?
Yes. That was a great
okay.
It does
sap.
For me. Well, listen, no. Listen.
You're a sap.
They needed it. Like, it doesn't necessarily cover it up, but it really, really helps. Like, if they had lost that game 8-3 or 8-4, I would be feeling a hell of a lot worse about the Toronto Blue Jays than I do today. No, I know obviously those first two games were horrible, and they didn't look very good, and the Yankees are an excellent team, and that's kind of the heartbreaking part of it, is that, you know, going into this season, we were expecting the Yankees to kind of be an average team, not like this, and just getting the doors blown off you by them, and just kind of getting sunned, for the lack of a better term, but to go into that game on Sunday, have that epic comeback, have an electric crowd, it made me feel a little bit better about the Jays after a crappy weekend.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't cover it completely, but it makes me feel better.
Okay, so Blair and Barker, they start their post game yesterday with, does this series tell us more about the Yankees or the Blue Jays?
That's a great topic.
Yeah, it was really actually good for this series because I went, are the Yankees just really good or are the Jays just sort of meh? And I kind of got the feeling coming out of it of a little bit of both. The Jays are, they're a better than meh ball club, but there's some obvious differences with them and the Yankees that were just kind of not just about the Yankees being awesome, right? The Yankees have a good bullpen. Should the Jays have 2 years in a row where they've just got this bullpen where they have to, like, awesome performance from Romano, awesome performance by Jimmy, but Mesa comes in, can't get an out. They put Simber in another situation where they ask him to be hey, we need something from you. He gets batted around. The new kid, I don't even remember his name anymore, Castro, I think, but it's like, who cares? Because you got home run, maybe nerves, whatever, but that's kind of one of the qualities I don't want from a relief pitcher, is to come up and feel nervous. They need bullpen arms so desperately. And the other part that I went, this is such an old guy. I know people are hesitant about this take I'm about to give because it really was a bad take in 2015 because the offense was unbelievably special and the Jays, it didn't matter that they hit home runs because they also took good ABs and they also had guys who drew walks, right? Like Bautista, what was his thing? He not only slugged it, but the guy had an eye. Like, everyone joked about how he should be an umpire at the end of his career. It's kind of just another game. It was an awesome game, a great win. But when the Jays run into baseballs, they look terrifying. because they got a bunch of guys that have power. But you look at that Yankees lineup, those guys score every which way. They hit bombs, they hit singles, they draw walks, they keep the chains moving. They just had multiple games where I went, God, that's just like nice hitting. All their at-bats are nice. I'm not trying to gas them up too much, but tell me you don't watch those ABs. They go, I always say with Kirk, dude doesn't cheat the game. Right? That's what I yell every time this guy takes an AB, because he doesn't cheat the game at the dish. It's always a solid at-bat from that guy. He's there. He digs in. He always works counts. He draws a lot of walks. And that's not the MO of a lot of the Toronto Blue Jays. When I'm watching the Yankees, I went, what a treat this must be if you cared about this team, because none of their dudes cheat the game. None of their dudes give you bad ABs. And when I watch them and the Jays, I go, should there be this much of a discrepancy between what the Yankees have in their pen and what Toronto has in a year like this, again, and the Yankees are down like 2-3 more important guys and that's still their bullpen. Well, and should they be having ABs that look so different between these two teams at this point too?
But it doesn't matter who's wearing the Yankees uniforms, because they've always just grinded out at bats my entire life. Like, it's just, why is that the case? I've never understood this. Through different managers, through different players, through different GMs, through different whatever, my entire life, they always grind out these ABs, and they're always so long.
Because
they don't understand it.
They don't celebrate World Series wins for who wins the offseason the way that Blue Jays fans do. Like, they celebrate it based on when they actually, like, hang a banner up.
But no, I just mean, like, it doesn't matter who's wearing the uniform. They always just have these unbelievable ABs. You think of Gardner. I think of Rizzo now, who was on the Yankees. Like,
terrifying.
All these guys just have such great ABs. And you look at the Jays, and the Jays are, it's a lot of it is first pitch stuff. And I think that's probably part of their plan at the plate. That's what Martinez has them up there doing. But it's a frustrating thing when it's not working. And it's a lot of times it goes one way. Either you ground it, you hit a homer, and it's so exciting when it's working. But when it's not working, it's a really frustrating thing. And then you juxtapose that against the Yankees, who grind out these at-bats, and it can be frustrating for fans. And I think it's a fair take. I don't know. Like, when it is working, it's so sweet, the first pitch stuff.
Of course.
Right?
Dude,
it's one of the most exciting things when a guy steps up their first pitch homer like Vlad yesterday. It's just a really, really different styles between the Yanks and Jays.
The big thing, though, is the division is real tight. Not Yankees related anymore, is that they're all
sickening.
They're just all bundled up. The Red Sox, we all thought they're out of it at the beginning of the year because they just stunk. And then they got right back in this thing. I think they're only like two and a half games back of the Blue Jays now. Mm-hmm. So the Jays have this week where they play the White Sox and the Brewers. And then next Monday, they start a series with the Red Sox. I think next Sunday. They got a go up and make a trade for a bullpen arm before then. They can't go into this Red Sox series with just, you know, what they got right now, because they're just trying to get away with it. Every single game, they're just trying to get away with it. Romano had to come in and work more than an inning. Jimmy had to work more than an inning. And right now, like, I know that you and I both have had, like, up and down relationship with Jimmy Garcia this year, because let's just face it, his strikeout numbers are down. And yeah, he's good against lower leverage spots, but he's come up in some big moments in this season and stunk too. Like, I don't exactly trust this guy. If you said, oh, Jimmy Garcia is coming up against the heart of the, like, Devers, JD Martinez, and Xander Bogaerts, and they're protecting a one-run lead, I'm going, I don't really want to watch this. I'm not ready to watch this. The Jays have, seriously, one of the worst 10 bullpens in baseball right now. They don't get any strikeouts. They don't get any punchouts. Last month, they're 25th in strikeouts per nine. They're just, it's not good enough from this pen. It's 2 years in a row. And again, I'm watching these Yankees arms, and I'm just frustrated by it. I'm frustrated by the fact that this, like, there's a ton of focus on Kikuchi, and we'll get to that in a second. But to me, you go, yeah, man, you have to pay for starting pitching in free agency, and like sometimes you miss. And he's not as inexcusable as Tanner Roark. They showed faith in Pete Walker. Everybody loves Pete Walker. You go, well, that's what you do. You go get Pete Walker guys with nasty stuff, and sometimes it's Robbie Ray. You go get Tanner Roark's, and guess what? Tanner Roark sucks. You knew he was, like, get a guy for innings eating. That's not a good reason to sign a free agent. But the bullpen thing is just confounding to me, because everybody knew it, and for whatever reason, they went into the season thinking, like, it's fine. We'll build the bullpen in season. You go, well, some of these games matter early on. It does. You just don't get to the deadline with it. And now I'm feeling like real pressed about them getting another arm in June. They do not have punch out arms. They don't have electric arms. They're leaning on the same guys too much every single game. And even the guys that we quote unquote trust, like Adam Simber, are just okay.
And some of the guys that sort of a couple things you said there that I wanted to play off of. First of all, what is every team that's won the World Series in the last however four
I know,
or five
that's
years,
what I mean.
What's the common theme? It's guys, they just have seven guys that come out of
We've
the bullpen and throw 100 miles an hour with a nasty slide piece, and it's just like that's the whole thing. That's the whole game, having guys that can come in and give you two innings in a big playoff game that throw hard.
So these guys didn't watch their own team, like their own team beat the Jays in the playoffs in 2016?
Yes. Yeah, I know. It was
like,
just all arms.
Hey, arms that they could afford to just have Trevor Bauer come out of a game and didn't matter because their bullpen was so nasty and could just shut down that Jays lineup. Like, yeah, we've been knowing this.
Yeah, so that's one thing off of what you said there. And we kind of are doing the same. History's repeating itself last year because they didn't address the bullpen fast enough last year, right? And how many games? The Jays missed the playoffs by one game last year, bud. And think back to April, to May, to June. How many stupid games did they blow because of the bullpen sucking? Like, think of Joel Piamps pitching in games. You think of these games with, like, oh my God, they should have won 100 times out of 100 and blew it because of their bullpen. I think of that one Red Sox series where it was just like they were up in every game. Like, this is history repeating itself, and I think this is a little bit of a trend now with them. Like, the bargain basement stuff on bullpens doesn't work. Like, this is the new spend big money thing, is bullpen arms. It's the most important thing, and you can't just have a bullpen develop itself. You can't have a bullpen that figures itself out. You can't, and the Jays have no one internally. Like, their guy that's supposed to be internal.
That's my biggest issue.
Well, it's like, Nate Pearson walks off the mound again after two pitches. It's like, here we go again with him. So I don't know how this is addressed. They got to make a big trade. I don't know. They just need some velocity and they need some strikeouts because, like you said, there's way too much contact, especially when they come in with guys. When guys come in and there's guys on base, it's like always in play. Like, Simber can't come in with guys on base. Like, Romano did an unbelievable job yesterday getting through that order, like striking out Judge. It was an awesome moment. But other than him, no one can do it. It's a problem, man. There's no denying it, and they got to address it. I love you saying before the Red Sox stuff because those games are huge coming up.
Dude, they're big. That's what I'm saying is this next stretch, that Yankee series, let's be honest, the division's out of reach.
It's done.
They're not going to catch the Yankees. What would have to happen for New York to get caught at this point? I don't know if the Yankees are going to finish their season with, you know, a historic year when it comes to the record. But
it feels like they could.
Yeah, I don't see a scenario where... Well, the Yankees do have this thing going on right now where they sign Matt Carpenter off the street and then he comes in there and he looks like he's going in the Hall of Fame. So there's a little bit of, I think they're going to regress a touch, but I don't think that the Jays are going to catch him. I just think that the division's going to be too tough. People look at the schedule and they say, well, the Jays have all those games against the Orioles. They have... Yeah, I don't know. I don't
trust
the
Orioles don't suck.
No, well, I don't trust the Blue Jays either to be the kind of team right now that strings together like 13, 14 in a row. Because you don't do that with bad, like, the bats, people keep wondering, why do the bats go to sleep some nights and look awesome some nights? Why is this team so Jekyll and Hyde with the offense? And it's because of the ABs they take, and it's because of the style in which they play. And so I just don't think that they're conducive, the way that they hit baseballs, that they're going to ever rip off a win. But yeah, 25th in bullpen ERA over the last month. 25th. Mm-hmm. It's just, how is that going to get it done?
It's not.
25th. This Fangraphs, because like there's two set. Fangraphs war, Jays last month, just bottom of the barrel with, like truly, bottom six team with baseball reference war. Like they're in there with teams like Arizona and the Kansas City Royals. Like, it's not supposed to... Washington, you know, that's who their book ended by. Their bullpen of the last month. Washington, the Royals, and Arizona. Those are the teams you want to be in the... Like, it's just, to me, that's the most unacceptable thing about the season. Number two is giving the third year to Kikuchi. Because...
Buddy, I knew from first pitch of spring training, I was like, what is this?
You were always a hater. It's true.
Oh, yeah. Since day one.
You're a day one hater.
I think there's a tweet of me being like, oh, this Kikuchi really works slow.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy,
early
though.
April.
It's crazy, though, because Siddle... I love watching Siddle and Caleb Joseph, by the way. Like, oh, for those two guys to be sitting on the panel together when the game ends, and they just start chopping up the pitching and the game and the at-bats and everything, you go, boy, this is... this that Blue Jays game yesterday was 32 hours. That felt like watching that James Franco movie. What was that called where he's trapped under the rock? And you're like, boy, it's this long? That was a long baseball game, and still I was looking forward to Siddle and Caleb Joseph at the end of it. And they just continue to bring home the same thing. And all the stats nerds keep pouring it out there, too, is that when Kikuchi's throwing that fastball for strikes, he's nasty. And then the slider is the secondary pitch. Awesome. And he won't trust the fastball.
No,
and he keeps
never.
Throwing his lesser pitches. Everybody's saying that his profile is all screwed up. You know Pete Walker knows this. Like, there's no way Pete's going out there saying, yeah, throw more of the change. That
keep
everybody's
throwing that crap in the dirt. That's what everyone, yeah.
I don't know what the miscommunication is, what it is. It's so tough because Kikuchi, we never see him speak, right? He's not having media conferences. Like, Gausman's all wearing it the other day. He's pissed off. You trust that Gausman's going to turn around because his track record's greater. But with Kikuchi, just, man, when he starts running into trouble, he looks shook. Like, he looks shook out on the mound. His body language is brutal, and he doesn't throw his best pitches. And that's spooky. Like, I just don't know if you turn that around, because they've obviously been telling him through this stretch what he needs to do. They have all the data. This is baseball, right? This isn't like, oh, whoops, we didn't have that information that Chris Black's Twitter account has. Like, yeah, Jay's got it, Chris. They know what's going on over here. Everybody knows what's going on over here. He just refuses to do it. And if you're refusing to do it over and over and over again, And I'm saying, when he got to that ball game, I went, I would have signed up for 4 innings and 3 runs from Kikuchi immediately. I would have ran to that. That's not really good for a guy that got to, you know, 12 a year over 3.
No. I think a big part of what's wrong with the bullpen, too, goes back to the starting pitching and Kikuchi, is that they have to be overworked. Like, over the last month, the starting pitching has not been good for the Jays, and that probably has a lot to do with what the bullpen looks like, but yeah.
They had to go to it with Ross Stripling, too, and then, like, Trent Thornton. I had some Trent Thornton stock. I was buying a little bit of it.
I warned you on Friday. I was like, that stock is not looking good. Should have sold.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was worthless when I bought it, and it was worthless when I keep holding on to it because it's whatever. It was funny that I had so many people messaging me, being like, "How about Trent Thornton?" Right? I was like, "What?" My take wasn't that he's going to be amazing. My take was like, "Oh yeah, I think that out of this crappy bullpen, that's how bad this bullpen is."
Yeah.
Is that I looked at Trent Thornton, I said, "Wow, he's actually throwing strikes and getting outs. That's something that Trevor Richards doesn't do."
But like, just so in the fleeting moments of Kikuchi brilliance this year, they are very good-looking moments. When he's dotting that heater at the top of the zone and then breaking off the breaking stuff, it really looks good. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy. And then he goes out there and he's like, I'm not throwing the heater anymore. It's like, your heater is 96 from the left side and you can dot it. Just throw it more. He should be on the Robbie Ray diet. That's what he should be doing.
No, but
Robbie
he throws Ray. It inside.
Heater,
he
slider.
Inside.
Heater,
I know
slider.
He should. That's why they got him. They thought they thought that they made a trade with the Mariners and that the Mariners had to pay Robbie Ray $1 billion and they were going to sign their version of other Robbie Ray for pennies on the dollar. And this is going to be – so we have Shai Davidi at 8 o'clock today. You saw that rumor about Justin Verlander. Well, not even a rumor. Verlander saying that they almost blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
imagine how different – yeah, I know. Well, you know what I can't stop thinking about? So, obviously, Semien last year was a revelation. I still miss Sem. Like, I still root for him. I still check Rangers box scores. Like, a weird... You know when you look at your ex... Well, not you, because you've been in a relationship for 14 years. But you look at your ex-girlfriend's Instagram story every once in a while. You just peek in there. You go, I have her muted, but I just want to see a little window into your life. That's me checking Rangers box scores, like the pathetic Marcus Semien simp that I am, because I just loved the guy. But imagine had this team poached those two Astros and they had Brantley in the lineup right now. We're talking about good ABs, left side, and Justin Verlander instead of Kikuchi.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it's too early for that. My heart.
Well,
it's too early to break my heart.
don't know what to tell you. It's just it was right there. They were right on the door. They were right on the doorstep with that stuff. Could you imagine this Blue Jays team right now with those two guys? And yeah, who cares about the outfield defense? Because the Blue Jays outfield defense could not be any worse. No. I am becoming an old man watching the outfield defense, where I can't believe how much I care about it now. These guys take bad routes to like every single baseball. Teoscar, I think, would be we'd be building Teoscar statues if he could actually like catch a fly ball. Like, if he could just like take a good route one time without falling down or dropping the baseball. But also, I swear to God, this is one of my hottest takes. It's baseball. I know you're not supposed to. Lourdes's hustle in the field sometimes bothers me. Like, it's just soft job time. Like, come on, Lourdes, please.
It's the day after Father's Day.
Yeah,
just, you bring a dad take.
Yeah. Dude, I have dad takes, man. I have some dad takes. I told you, I'm getting old. I'm watching this game every single day. Just every once in a while, I want to mix in some hustle.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was
fun. I think that's fair. When a ball gets ripped out of the corner, once in a while, yeah, Lourdes is like, he could be, as Wilner used to say, he could be a little bit more chalant. You know,
dude,
like,
yeah,
he could run a little harder after that thing.
Mix out a little bit of the Chillon. Anyway, so was this Blue Jays weekend more about the Blue Jays or was it about the Yankees? And the last thing is just, hey, I kind of hate Josh Donaldson.
Okay,
I'm so glad you're coming with me on this. He gets plunked and it hurts and he spikes his bat like a little brat. And the crowd snapped and, like, gave him a little bit of a boo. And I know that some of you out there, like me, remember 2015 and Bringer of Rain season and MVP and how good he made the city feel and how much we love Donaldson. To the point where, dude, Bautista had been slugging baseballs here for years. We had Edwin. And Donaldson was so good that he became the guy on that team in the middle of the order.
He was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable. But can we not just say that we rooted for, like, we had, when you got the bad guy on your team,
we were the bad guy team.
Yeah.
Everybody hated us.
That we were mixing it up with every team every weekend. Yeah. He's just insufferable, man. Like, I don't know. He gets plunked, he cries, and then he bat flips it to the oblivion for his home run. He's hit a billion home runs here. He knows exactly when he hits one, whether it's going out or not. And he bat flips that, and I just went, man, if we got into a series with the New York Yankees, Donaldson would be my number one bleep this guy every time he comes up. Like, I respect a lot of the Yankees players, right? Like, I respect and revere Aaron Judge. I actually feel weird about Giancarlo Stanton because Yankees fans have hated his guts so long that whenever he does anything nice to them,
he deserves better.
I know he does. And I go, no, you can't cheer Yankees fans every time this guy gets one. They just have guys I respect. I respect Rizzo. I do. I respect DJ LeMahieu. They just have guys I respect. I don't respect Josh Donaldson. I just don't do it. He drives me nuts. He's got that. He's got resting dick face. Like, he's got the face.
He's Florida man.
I just, and he's a crybaby. He's a whiner. He talks all this trash. I can't stand him. I really cannot stand Josh Donaldson. And I can't believe the degree into which I can't stand him. And I'm furious that he's a Yankee, because had he just stayed a Minnesota Twin, I would have never thought about this. But now he's in the pinstripes. He's like their worst guy.
Third.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, he hits third because he's, like, OPSing 700. But whatever. He gets to have his spot because he's Josh Donaldson, probably because he cries and he makes a big fuss.
Put
and they go,
third.
Yeah, and they go, fine, just put this. I was MVP 2015.
Oh,
and they go, ugh, enough with this guy. Anyway,
I eat cookies and milk out of a glass.
I just can't take it. I can't take it. It drives me nuts. He does some weird Florida stuff.
So I'm glad that you brought this up, because I don't know if it's just that the Jays are playing big games, that the Yankees are back to being, like, elite, but my Yankees hate has never been stronger than it is in this moment right now. You said that you respect Rizzo. I used to love Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah,
when he was on the Cubs, I loved that team. I loved him. I hate his guts. When he's on
the Yankees
now, I really, really hate him. I hate going up against him. His, like, cute smile that I loved on the Cubs, now I'm like, you're the worst. Close that mouth. Yeah. Like, don't show me those teeth. I hate you. I really, really have got, like, I've always hated the Yankees, obviously. They're all in any Toronto sports fan's top five most hated franchise list, of course. But this year, right now, this team, and it's probably because they're so good and they're back to being, like, the early 2000s Yankees, I just can't stand them. And Josh Donaldson, you're right, gone from absolute hero to absolute villain. He is a horrible guy. I just say, like, I just can't stand him. So I'm glad you brought that up. My Yankees hate all the way back, Bunk.
Yeah, no, I'm all the way there on the Yankees hate too. I just mean that at least I go, you tip the cap when a guy like Rizzo hits a bomb. Nah. When Donaldson hit that bomb, I did the whole, like, remember that joke that, like, it's when you hear a small town name and you spit in the dirt? That was me. Like, I was a spit in the dirt moment where I was just like, oh, Donaldson bomb? Gross.
That Rizzo bomb off Meza was, oh boy.
Yeah. One of the only positives from the weekend for me is just how the Blue Jays crowd is awesome right now. Mm. Like, the fans are out for this baseball team, and not only are they out for this baseball team, I remember just when the Yankees would come to town, and this is a hot Yankees team. Yankees come to town, and there's a ton of Yankees fans at the stadium, and it drove me nuts when I was a kid, and I would come visit, and I would watch these games here. It drove me nuts as an adult how many Yankees fans would be at Blue Jays games, and they sold more than the home opener over the weekend. And it was clearly like a heavy Blue Jays crowd, an invested Blue Jays crowd, a good Blue Jays crowd. So shout out to Blue Jays fans, because, yeah, I thought this was a really strong representation from the fan base this weekend. I just needed to get that off my chest.
That's great. Okay. Looked electric. Wish I had been there for a game.
Yeah, so I want to do one more topic before we take a break, and that's just a little bit of Stanley Cup Finals. Because... Listen, Colorado's an incredible team. For them to be up in the first two games of this series wouldn't have been shocking to me. Like, I wouldn't have gone, oh, someone tells me that Colorado goes up 2-0. I went, well, the Rangers went up 2-0 on Tampa, so I'm not going to be shocked by that. But for it to be this way is one of the most shocking things I've seen in hockey. Really. It's a sport about parity, and we knew these were the best two teams going into a Stanley Cup final, and Tampa looks old, slow, overwhelmed, undergunned, and Colorado, without even Nazem Kadri in the lineup, is just bombarding them. They came out of that game too, and it was over after the first period, and you knew that Tampa wasn't going to make some in-game adjustment for what Colorado had, because Colorado's just throwing nasty guy over the boards, blue line to front, it's just back to front, nasty, fast. They're so fast. Tampa looks like they didn't even watch a tape of how these guys play, or if they did, they had no idea about, like, the actual speed of this team. But I can't believe how much of an ass-kicking this is. Like, I really cannot believe that Tampa is getting completely outclassed, and their captain, Steven Stamkos, is doing the thing where you go to the podium after and go, this is unacceptable, but everybody watching goes, yeah, but what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. I don't want to be... I just don't think that the Lightning can do anything better than Tampa other than goaltend. I'm sorry, the Lightning can't do anything better than Avalanche other than goaltend, I guess. And the goaltending has looked bad through two games for them. Like, Vasilevskiy, the low blocker thing is now a issue. Every goal, every shot on low blocker on him right now is going in.
Like, dude, you Manson thought you were going to ever see Victor Hedman look human like this, though?
No. I just, like, you think about what makes Tampa Tampa. They're depth guys that are contributing and, you know, shut down. Avalanche are just doing it better. All their depth guys are scoring, contributing faster, harder on pucks. They're just so disciplined. They never take any stupid penalties. You know, they don't mix it up in these scrums. Like, they're just a machine. And listen, I know Tampa could punish me for saying this, but this is, I think the Lightning are going to be lucky to get one. I really do. Like,
They just lost by a touchdown, so yeah, that's not a hot take.
Like, even after the first game where they went to overtime, I was like, oh boy, Tampa's in tough here. Like, this is going to be a really tough one for them to like, even though I picked them to win on Saturday night, I did that more as a respect thing. I don't know. I have a really, this is different than the Rangers series going down 2-0. This is just different. I don't see a world for them getting back into this. They're going to beat them four games out of the next six? Out of the next five? I don't see it, buddy. I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. Dude, the Lightning have 40 shots. They're getting 20 shots a game over six periods in a bit of an overtime. They're losing the even strength battle by 70% on the expected goals thing. And it's 11-3. It's not like this has been the first game they battled back and they showed some heart and they had their punch. And now I can't help but feel like, okay, you know how the Warriors got better as the series went on and then they just kind of exposed Boston? But Boston had that awesome game one where they came back and they just stole it. That's what Tampa needed in this series to make it 100%. One. Because then they would have stole game one, and then they could have maybe grabbed this game three and had it be split or something at home and go back to Colorado 2-2 and just need that, like, those steal moments, right? Can we steal games with our goalie? Now it just feels like they had their chance to steal a game. They blew it, and now they're just – they're toast. I cannot believe Victor Hedman has looked like this, and I don't think it's all his fault. I think that it's just those guys never get a break. There's no let up. There's no David Kampf line coming over the boards where they get like a little bit of a rest because don't worry, those guys are going to score on you. Don't worry. Hey, the old man line of Jason Spezza is coming over the boards. Don't worry about it. There's no let up in this Colorado group. They're nasty. Like, they're truly amazing. They're truly amazing to the point where they've got all these pending free agents. I know everyone's going to want to get paid, but I actually wonder if they're as a group going, hey, how many of us are going to take less? Is Nate Dogg going to take less on his next deal? How much of this group can we keep together if everybody shaves off just a little bit to try to sacrifice? Because, God,
they're an amazing team.
They could win for a very long time, and it feels like you could put any goalie back there. you could put any goalie back there right now, and Colorado would be the cup favorites.
And their decor, like, everyone talks about Makar and Taves, who are obviously unbelievable, and they should be talked about. But, like, you go down the lineup, like, Jack Johnson, who every hockey nerd made fun of, is actually really good for them. Yeah. Josh Manson. And then it's, like, Eric Johnson, the forgotten first overall pick. Bo Byram, who we both adored at the World Juniors. Like,
yeah, they don't even have Gerard. They're missing a guy.
They are
like a real guy.
Stacked.
No, dude. They're stacked. They're absolutely stacked. We'll talk more about them. We got Luke Fox at 7. He's down there in Tampa. We'll kind of ask him what his read is on the way the Lightning are going to adjust in this. My only thing holding out hope is Bourne's article on John Cooper making adjustments in series, and it's like, okay, well, what's your adjustment for all their speed? But anyway, we'll talk to Luke.
Is Cooper going to strap on the skates? Like, what's the adjustment here? I don't know. Faster?
Yeah, you and I have a couple more takes on this series, I know. But let's take a break, and then let's come back and do the A-List. It's the Fan Morning Show. J.D. Bunkus, Sam McKee filling in for Ailish Forfar. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's the Fan Morning Show. I'm J.D. Bunkus. Sam McKee filling in for Ailish Forfar. Sammy, massive Drake guy. You're gonna be the dude who's like, I know you already. I don't even need to talk to you about it. You're the kind of guy who loves to zag on an album. And so your 100% new Drake album take is gonna be, I actually really liked it. Just like when Kanye did the horrific gospel album that no one's ever listened to, period, since it came out, and you tried to zag on that. You love to be a contrarian. You love to get a rise out of people and then kind of like abandon it, even though you'll never listen to this Drake album. You'll never listen to it, ever. You'll never put it on. You love buying records. Like, imagine you buying this record. No, see, I knew it. You're full of it. No, you're such a liar. Get a rise out of people all summer.
The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Yeah. Liars who lie is Sam McKee loving this Drake album.
My take isn't okay. I'll get to it later, but let's start with this. Let's start with the new top story that we talked about this morning. Joe Biden. I don't know if you saw this video over the weekend, but it was incredible. He rolls up over a crosswalk. Everybody's cheering for him. Ah, go, President, you're on a bike. And he goes to take his foot out of the little clip-in on his bike, and he legitimately just falls over. It's a hysterical video. It's one of my favorite videos I've seen so far this year. But my question to you off of that video, Bunk, is how old is too old to be riding a bike?
Okay, so...
because he is old. Remarkably old.
Yeah, he's honestly, he's like, I have a letter from the Queen old. he's got one in the desk. I'm rewatching the show Veep right now, which is an incredible show. Like, honestly, even as I'm rewatching, I'm going, this should be higher on the all-time great comedy show rankings. It's really that good. And I keep watching it through the lens of Veep whenever he does things too, because he is the guy who was the vice president, and then people liked him, and then he becomes president. He's a billion years old. He ran too late, and now this is the result where people are laughing at an old man falling off a bike, and I can't hate on them because, like, but it's like any other old man on the planet falls off a bike. That's Biden's age, and everyone feels sick about it and goes, don't share that. Why are you putting that on social media, you clout chaser? It's an old man falling off a bike. And it's Biden, and we go, that's the most powerful man on earth. He can't get his
man
foot.
He can't step off a bike.
He can't get his foot out of the restraint on the side and just bails hard. Like, he went down hard. And that's what you hear about people of his age is – you have a bad fall and it's over.
And the commander in chief can't get off a bike.
I'm just saying that. That was my first thought. Was what if that's he did it to himself? Like, he assassinated himself by bike. Man, it's tough. It's really tough seeing that guy, because he was old when they elected him, and he was having trouble remembering how to say things. He farted on air, like, he just lost. Remember that? He just had a fart on CNN.
It's funny though. You talk about him being in shows. Remember when he was like in Parks and Rec, and he was old in that. And that
came out like
2013. I know, I know. I'm just saying. Like, I know it was like the theme of Veep, but
he
just
had a moment.
But
people thought that he was going to succeed Obama. And that he was going to be the guy, and then he didn't run. Mm. And then he did later, and it was too late. As he wins, but yeah, it feels like they've got him stored away somewhere, just trying to wake him up from his naps and porridge for whenever they need him to do an address. And then when they get him going, they go, we can't have this guy awake for more than 10
minutes.
Many
words. Too many words.
We can't have him out of bed. When he starts to ramble and ad-lib off the thing, you go, oh no, Joey.
How old is he?
I think he's actually, I don't want to guess.
He's 80. He's 79.
That's what I thought. I was going to say, I think he's 81, but I knew that was too high. I was going to say his age,
old. So 80 is too old to ride a bike. That's the age.
Well, what's nuts is that you have to be 35 years old to run for president, right? Like, to be president of the United States, you have to be 35 minimum. That's a good rule, right? No one goes, that's ageist.
No, that's the right. That's the correct rule.
There should be a cap, 75. And I know there's 75-year-old listeners of the show. You're still sharp. You're still doing your thing. No question about it. But you guys not getting tired at 8 o'clock? Like, what time are you guys getting tired? Like, you want me to bring you, oh, my God, Russia invaded Ukraine at 9:30? No way. there's no way. There's no way that you want me bringing that to you late at night when it's time for sleepy time. Like, when you've had your tea and you're ready to go to bed. You're in your PJs. It's not happening, right? Like, Biden this is a tough president. It's a tough presidency, man. It's a tough presidency. And the crazy thing is, he's following an act where it's the worst possible act. You're going to get cheered no matter what you do. It's a layup, right? You're going to be popular amongst people, and everybody else is more like, yeah, keep it on the DL, like, whatever. At least
don't tell anybody this happened.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Don't tell anybody about what's going on over here. It's bad.
All right,
off a bike is tough.
My next one is the Warriors have their parade today at 11 o'clock for their championship. Do you have any favorite parade moments from championship parades? What's your fave?
Oh, when I got to not work on Raptors parade day because they were delayed by 36 hours, where you went, oh my, are these guys ever going to show up? Are the Raptors ever going to get here? Because I was with you. We were on King Street. And
University of King.
Yeah, and we waited forever in the sun, and it was beaten down. Thank God we brought some beers in a bag, but I remember my take was, well, I can only have one of these because I got to do a show later. I can only have maybe two of these, and then by the time it was pretty apparent, I was like, well, hey, I can't move through this crowd, and I don't have cell phone access, and so... did I make an attempt even to get to work? No. I made no such attempt. But I did make an attempt for the free drinks that we had for our show afterwards down at the bar that we were supposed to do the show from. So, yeah, my favorite parade moment is 1,000,000,000% Raptors parade and me getting work off while also seeing the Raptors hoist Larry O'B. And then, yeah, Marc Gasol was obviously the man who I'll always remember at the parade, because when he went by, he was doing the Conor McGregor thing, like, from the bus. I remember thinking, holy crap, what if he falls out of the bus? Like, he was that level of drunk. He chugged wine right in front of us, or champagne right in front of us. And then it gets capped off by... you get home and you see him sitting there next to Trudeau going, I'm drunk, he says. He's slumped over, just absolutely buckled. Yeah, so yeah, Marc Gasol and Raptors parade, that's my moment.
I'm going to say Tom Brady pretending to be drunk is my favorite.
No, you think he was pretending?
Oh, of course he was. You see, like, he's like, this is what a drunk person acts like. Okay, my next one is...
it is pretending. Wow, that's an all-time Tom Brady hate. Yeah, I kind of do like that take.
I don't even hate. I don't even hate Tom Brady. I honestly don't.
Whatever. No,
but like, here's the thing. He looked like he was. He's like, oh, this is how you stumble. This is like, he was pretending. Okay, I do want to get this in before I get the break. And it is about the new. It is about the new Drake album.
You're treating like he's a 12-year-old. But, so yeah, just give me your horrific Drake take.
This Drake album is universally loaded, and whatever. I've listened to it. I don't mind it. It's fine. You're right. I'm never really gonna go back to it. I'm not like gonna sit here and say it's great. But the number one thing that you always make fun of Drake for is that he never does anything different. That it's always he's putting out the same songs. He's always putting out the same like
rap songs. Yeah, but that's what's so funny about this.
But this is completely different. It's like Ibiza Drake. It's, you know, it's I'm going to be in the club Drake. It's a completely different type of album from anything he's ever put out. And I think, you know, it's just something different. People are just expecting the same thing for him to put out. Everyone makes fun of him for putting out the same songs. He does something different. So everyone's like, oh, this sucks. Like, no. I think he deserves a little credit for doing something different. That's my take.
I listened to it one time. Okay. I actually think that you shouldn't be able to really judge an album until like months later. Because I just think that we get it wrong in the moment.
The Bill Simmons 5-year Oscar rule.
Yeah. But with albums, it should be okay after a season. You know, if an album gets released in the summer, you're allowed to have takes about it in the fall. That's when you're allowed to have a take on this album. Because when we're talking about the top end artist or someone that you love, the takes are just so loaded because you're expecting something. Like, very rarely does something hit where you go, oh my God, this is what I expected it to be. Like, for me, that's the Pusha T album where Kanye made all the beats for it. Because I love Push, and I also love Kanye. And I could not believe that it actually lived up to my expectations. And I went, oh my God, this is actually one of those things. A lot of times... an album either doesn't meet them and you get way too hot with the takes because you're sour about it, but then you come around to it because it's an artist you love and then you go, oh, this is actually pretty damn good. Or the other way where you overreact because you want to be like, I'm a huge stan of this guy, and then 2 months later you go, why isn't this in my regular rotation? Why am I not listening to this more? So I think that normally the safest thing to do is not have a take. But this isn't even different Drake. That's where I think that you didn't even listen.
It's not. It's different.
It's different in the sense of he doesn't rap, which is the one thing he's supposed to do. But this is like a bad version of One Dance on like 13 different songs. Yeah, like it's very much in the pocket of Drake. It's very much in his pocket. This isn't something like, wow, he really went out on a massive creative lunge. If he was ever going to do anything, it was going to be this. Anyway, I just think as our buddy Tim Robinson says, it's a cash grab. It's a cash grab. And it was a huge cash grab. And guess what? I don't blame a single fan on the planet for being upset that Drake releases an album and then goes, you're idiots if you don't like that I'm trying to be different. Like, what a dorky Drake's fan, move.
Drake's fans in Greece and Ibiza gonna love this album.
Sure,
big fans.
So they say. Well, the thing is, I don't know about dance music, so someone's gotta tell me if
I
you
do.
Actually even
I know
liked
everything
it.
About dance music.
Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, you move those hips, eh? Yeah, down to the Owen Sound Fish Fry. You get a lot of dance music gets laid down at that festival. Anyway, I just thought it was corny, and guess what? Drake's corny. So it fits right into Drake's huge corny motif, which is, I'm going to be a corny guy who acts like I'm above it.
Last one before we go real quick.
Yeah.
David Camp's six-pack. Is that the most absurd thing you've ever seen?
Man, I sent you this picture of David Camp on his Instagram. If you haven't seen it, I'll put it in my Instagram story, honestly. Like,
absurd. It's a 10-pack. It's not a 6-pack.
So, yeah, I know. I actually thought that it was fake, like a cartoon where they have a guy who's just 6-pack all the way up to his neck. I respect David Camp so much more after seeing that. That guy commits to that body. Like, that David Camp body doesn't happen by accident, okay? That's not genetics. That guy's grinding out there. He's on his vacation, and I went, worst guy to ever go on vacation with, because he has, like, one sip of a drink, and he goes, oh, what a special treat. You know, he has, like, a slice of a pineapple.
Dude, if I'm near David Camp, no. Tarp is not coming off.
Man, so it's tarps off season, so you know me. I'm in the gym. I'm grinding. But I still want to have, like, I went to eat like the slice of Italy thing this weekend, and I was like hammering chicken and churros off the street. Like, David Camp would never, be hammering tall boys. I was having IPAs, tall boys, out of a backpack, mixing it in with the odd dart that I bummed off someone, and chicken and churros on the street on Saturday night. David Camp would recoil at my Saturday night. It would disgust him. He has no idea about it. But yeah, no. David Camp, honestly, sign him long term because you can trust that body.
Body plays.
That guy's gonna play. He's gonna have a career, man. So yeah, sign David Camp now before he puts in another great season for the Leafs. Because yeah, I don't care if he can't score. He's scoring somewhere. All right, like David Camp is.
He's a 50 goal scorer off the ice.
Yeah, all his goals come off the ice, buddy. Like, he is shooting. He is absolutely shooting. All right, let's take a break. This is getting gross. We got to come back and talk to Luke Fox next on the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus and Sam McKee, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.